CryptoCommunity.com.
Sorry, I jumped in on you there, Rob. As we looked last week, we were looking at Paul's first letter to Timothy, and we're going to look at his second letter to Timothy today. So if you've got your Bibles, I'll put you to the page, and then we'll get there eventually. But it's 2 Timothy, and we're going to be on page 996. So if you're using the Bibles in our seats here this morning. So you can just kind of hold that spot there. We're going to go back a little bit, though, and kind of put some things in context. So last week, as we looked at 1 Timothy, we talked about how Paul was like a mentor or a coach for the younger Timothy. That Timothy was around 19 years old when they first met. Paul was probably around 45 or so, about 25 years older. Then Timothy traveled with Paul pretty extensively for about 10 years on his missionary journeys. Now, during Paul's third missionary journey that we have recorded in Acts, Timothy went with him to Ephesus. They spent about 3 years there. But after Paul left Ephesus, he returned to Jerusalem, knowing that there was some difficulty that was awaiting him there. So he returns to Jerusalem. He's arrested by the Jewish leaders. Now, he knew that they were plotting to kill him upon his release, so instead of working to be released, he actually appealed as a citizen of Rome to Rome to be tried or appealed there. So because he appealed in that direction, he was then shipped off to Rome, where he eventually reached there after a little detoured shipwreck, and came into Rome under house arrest. Paul had his opportunity to speak to the leaders there, and eventually he was freed. He lived on his own, at his own expense there for about 2 years, and Acts tells us that he shared the gospel with anyone who would listen. So this is where the book of Acts ends in its account of what happened with Paul. Historically, what we've come to understand is that Paul eventually then left Rome and continued his missionary work. On that journey, he revisited Ephesus but was hurried away. Timothy was left behind to lead that church or lead in that church while Paul continued his missionary work in other parts of the world. After Paul left Timothy behind, around 62 AD, Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy, or at least the first letter that we have. So that was around 62 AD. Now fast forward about another 5 years to 67 AD, and the scene is different. The Roman emperor, who was Nero at the time, has gone like literally insane. He has torched his own capital city. And then to cover it up, he accused the Christians of being the ones who set the fires. So a manhunt goes underway for Christian leaders and Christians in general. Many of them were tortured and murdered. Paul was caught up in this manhunt too, and he was taken back to Rome. At his pre-trial hearing, he writes about this in his letter, in his pre-trial hearing, no one showed up to vouch for his innocence. It's most likely because the Christians at the time had fled Rome, and they had also disappeared or gone underground if they had stayed there. So it was probably not much of a surprise to Paul that this had happened. But at his pretrial hearing, no one to vouch for his innocence, so he's thrown back in jail. Now this time, jail for him was not really a house arrest, not where he could live on his own accord and people could come and see him. This was a little different situation. This was like prison. This was like an underground dungeon. So Paul sees the writing on the wall, right? He knows that his life is coming to an end. When you read Paul's second letter to Timothy, it's pretty clear that he knows he has a very little time left. When you don't have a lot of time left, you tend to get right to the heart of things that are most important, that he really wants to tell Timothy. And I think that's the sense you get as you read this letter from Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy. You can almost feel Paul coming at Timothy in full force in this letter. Okay, so we're just kind of keep that in mind in the tone of what Paul writes as we dive into the passage we're going to be looking at today. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And Paul writes, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." So that's the words to Paul that Paul writes to Timothy that we're going to look at today. I want to keep reading, though, just a couple of verses. Those, I don't think these are up on the screen, but just again to get the heart of Paul as he writes. He says this in the next couple of verses. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." All right, so just a pretty powerful set of words to Timothy. Well, we're going to look at this passage a little bit more in depth, and starting with verse 1 of chapter 4. Paul writes, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus." With some of Paul's last instructions to Timothy, that's what he says. I charge you in the presence of Christ Jesus and of God, preach the word. Okay. Now, to charge, as Paul uses that phrase here, it means to testify truthfully on behalf of someone. In this case, he's saying, I'm testifying truthfully on behalf of the Lord. So this is not just a suggestion by Paul to Timothy. It's not a recommendation or just something he thinks would be a really good idea, right? It's a command from God. Paul is conveying a clear command from the Lord. That's what he's doing to Timothy here. Whereas what is that charge or that command? Well, he mentions a number of things that we've seen throughout this passage. But the very first thing, the most important thing, the premier one on the list, he charges Timothy is to preach the word, right? And that's the second thing. And the main charge Paul gives Timothy is to preach the word. Some of you know this story, but back when Portico first got started, we had a night that we really talked about communion, like we just celebrated here today, and only the entire focus of the night was on this. And basically, the message was on it. There were some different people sharing and that sort of thing. So we were pretty new, and there were some people who were visiting. They had come from friends of friends, and were checking things out because they were in town. And they came, and after the worship gathering was over, the man of the family comes up to me, and he says, I just have a couple questions. First of all, is there like a pastor here? because they had heard from a number of different people, and I said, well, I'm the pastor here, And then he said, "Well, so if you're the pastor here, is there someone who's going to, like, you know, preach the word?" And I didn't know how to take that because I'm sitting in that moment going, "I thought we did." You know, I mean, granted, all of the teaching was around communion and the idea of communion and what that was about and the passages we did, but we were right talking out of Scripture the whole time. So, you know, that was his question. Is there a pastor here who can preach the word? Now, that has sort of morphed into reminders from a couple of people who've been around for that long a time. They always remind us that Portico probably would be a better place if we had a pastor who preached the word. Okay, I'm reminded of that all the time, right? So, but that's the charge to Timothy here, right? Preach the word. That's what Paul tells him. I want to dive into that a little bit this morning. Preach the word. The first thing about preach the word is the idea of preaching. Okay, the first thing is the word preach. So preach the word. To preach means to proclaim or to announce, and it's to do that to a message with conviction or passion. To proclaim or announce a message with conviction or passion. Typically, that involves something in public. So that's significant too. Sometimes how it looks might be different. We might picture preaching the word as something like this. It looks like this, right? Kind of pounding the pulpit, kind of hollering at the people, that sort of thing. But I think sometimes preaching can also look like this. Right? Maybe just taking time to pray in a restaurant, and boy, people take notice of that. Or maybe it looks like this. Right? Serving some people who are in need as a way of preaching the word. Or like this. Right? Comforting someone. Someone who might be either in need or just hurting at the time. And maybe even sometimes it just, another example there, maybe sometimes it looks like this too. Right? Just bringing a meal to someone. Just an act of kindness that we can do. Right? So how we preach or proclaim this message might look different from time to time, but it should also involve this. It should also involve speaking and a conversation that we have about Jesus. Right? Maybe you've heard the expression before, that preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. It's a great saying. Our lives should speak volumes to people around us by how we live and how we love. Jesus said, let your light shine before others so that they would see your good deeds and they would give glory to God. But the message of Jesus is still a message. It's still something that needs to be shared in order to be received. It's still good news that needs to be proclaimed in order to be heard. All right? So he says, preach the word, to announce or proclaim a message with passion or conviction. Now, the second thing he says is preach the word. So the idea of the word here is this. It's the divine expression of God's thoughts and heart. The divine expression of God's thoughts and heart. God had expressed himself in various ways throughout history. Right? He expressed himself, his heart, his thoughts, in creation. When he made all things. Then he gave the law. That was an expression, ultimately, of his thoughts and his heart. The words of the prophets were literally God's words that were supposed to be spoken to the people. So he was expressing his thoughts and his heart. Then he expressed his heart and his thoughts through Jesus, who was in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word became flesh. So he lived and he breathed and he dwelled among us here on earth. Jesus was God's divine expression as well. And then, of course, today, we have the Bible. We have the Scriptures. The Scriptures have been given to us by God. He used people like Paul to convey his heart, putting down his thoughts and his heart on ink and paper under the direction, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So now we have the Word of God here in Scripture. These words are inseparable from the heart or the thoughts of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, we read this earlier, but Paul writes, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's breathed out by God. It's God breathed. It's God's Word. So that's what needs to be preached. And he says, preach the Word, or preach the Word. Now, for those who are kind of your grammar buffs, the is the definite article. All right, just from a little dictionary definition there. But it indicates something specific. That's the importance of it. It's not just a word we're supposed to preach. It's not just any word we're supposed to preach. It's the word, the one and only, the specifically, this specific word. And it's interesting because as we read in verse 3 in chapter 4, Paul writes, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Right? Paul is saying, look, you can't just preach or believe whatever you want to hear. You can't just make stuff up. Now, there were a lot of people in Timothy's day, in Paul's day, who were preaching something in Ephesus. Many people were preaching about a false goddess named Artemis. Some were preaching other false gods and idols. Some people were preaching about Jesus, but they were distorting the truth. They were adding things to what was really true. They were creating this false gospel, teaching a false gospel, which Paul says is really no gospel at all. And in the same way, it's often no different today. Many are preaching false gods, empty religions. Some preach atheism, that there is no God whatsoever. Others preach a form or directly universalism. This idea that it doesn't matter which God you believe in because it's just all different ideas of how we get to the same place in the end. But yes, there are also some who are preaching Jesus but distorting that gospel by what Paul says, wandering from the truth or creating their own concept of what or who God is and preaching that as truth. If someone is doing that, then they are preaching some other gospel, which again, as is written in Scripture, is really no gospel at all. So we have to preach the word, staying true to this, God's word. That's what Paul charges Timothy to do, which makes a lot of sense because, as we talked about earlier, Timothy is a leader in the church, right? He's overseeing or pastoring in this church. I mean, that's his role. So of course Timothy is supposed to do that, right? That's his job, just like Pastor Eric is supposed to preach the word, even though that's been up for debate apparently in previous years. No, but that's his job, right? He's got to preach the word. But I don't believe, as we look at this scripture, that this is just an instruction for Timothy or to a pastor or a church leader. Timothy's charge is our charge too. Timothy's charge is our charge too. Earlier in this letter, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, Paul writes, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." What you've heard from me, instruct to others. Paul wasn't just instructing Timothy. He was instructing Timothy to instruct others who could do what? Who could pass this on. That's what he wanted. On top of that, we understand now that God's intended for this specific letter to be written to Timothy and to be included in his word, which means God wanted us to hear this too. This charge is not just for Timothy, it's also passed on to us. It's our charge too. We need to preach the word. Now, of course, we need to do that tactfully. We need to do that carefully. This past week, I was talking with my daughter Megan, and she was working on a presentation that she has for school. Some of it has to be shared in class, like verbally, but there's also all different kinds of media that are involved in this presentation that she has to give. So she had to have a take on the idea of purpose and meaning in life, and was there a purpose, and what was it, if, you know, that sort of thing. So as we were talking about the project, I just kind of asked her, hey, what would you say the meaning or the purpose of life is? Where does it come from? She said, well, God, like I believe God's the purpose in life, and that we're supposed to like love Jesus and we're supposed to share him with others. But at the same time, as she's doing this presentation, she didn't feel like she could just come right out and throw that out there in the situation that she was in. Partly because it wouldn't be very effective with who she knew would hear it. And partly because they just weren't ready to hear it on that level. So she found some cool stories, some cool quotes, a lot of them that were spiritual in nature. She shared these quotes from, you know, a Holocaust survivor. She's told a story about Johnny Erickson Tada, who is a quadriplegic artist and Christian author and speaker. She used a song by the group Superchick, another Christian artist, that really talks about not wasting our life and just hoping that what she could do was inspire people that they would see their need to have and find meaning and purpose in life. And that these things that she was using would really help point the way to Jesus. It was a very cool thing and a very cool approach to take for her. I was really proud of that. Preach the word. We don't always have to blast people with it. It might not be appropriate at the time, but we do need to share it. We do need to share it. So this morning, why would we say it's so important for us to do this? You know, why is it important for us to share the word? And I want to take a little different take on this. I want you to think about a few of the things that the word of God, that God's word does for us, that God's word does for us, first of all. First of all, the word of God changes or changed our minds, right? The word of God changed our minds. Here's what I mean by that. When we start discovering what the Word of God says is true and best and right, it changes our thinking. Right? It changes our thinking. Yes, I heard a bunch of flips. By the way, these notes do continue on the backside. All right, sorry. It changes our thinking. We should start taking every thought captive to the mind of Christ. It's like the world says something to us or about us in some way. We filter it through the Word of God and determine whether that's really true, whether that's really right, according to Scripture, according to Jesus. So we begin to start thinking like Jesus wants us to. So the Word of God changed our minds. The Word of God also changed our hearts. Hopefully, the Word of God is changing our hearts, right? Even the hardest hearts get softened by God's Word. Get affected. Scripture says that he removes from us a heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. We start to love what God loves. And we start to love like God loves. That's the idea. The Word of God changed our hearts. The Word of God also changed our lives. You know, as we embrace his truth more and more, we'll become more like Jesus. Right? It's not just about how we think or what we feel, or what we believe, but it fleshes itself out in our actions, in our lives. So the Word of God changed our lives. Our actions, our words, our goals, our hopes, our dreams, our purpose, our meaning, it's all affected by the Word of God. So the Word of God changed our lives. And then, of course, the fourth thing, and probably most significant thing, the Word of God changed our eternal destiny. The Word of God changed our eternal destiny. These words, the words of the Lord, are words that lead to eternal life. That's what they're about. They're also words by which we'll be judged in the end. So the Word of God, it affects and changed our eternal destiny. Now, just as these are some of the things that the Word of God has done for us, these are things that the Word of God also will do for those around us as well. And so here's kind of the key to this. Okay, if we know this is what God's Word has done in our lives, the Word of God changed us, it can change others too. Right? It can change others too. I want you, if you could, imagine that you were serving in the Coast Guard. Right? And you received word that there was a cruise ship many miles out away from land that sent out a distress call. The ship had gone down. People were treading water miles and miles and miles away from shore. There was no possible way for them to swim back to land. So you get in your rescue boat, and you head toward them. And when you reach their location, you start throwing the lifeline into the water, into a crowd of desperate people. They're literally fighting to take a hold of this life preserver or this lifeline. You're trying to keep them calm, but you know they're just clamoring for it. So you pull in who you can, and you throw it right back out again, and you keep going, and you keep going, no matter how tired, no matter how hard it gets, you keep going because you want to save as many people as you possibly can. And they're desperately in need. And they know it. Well, we're living in a world where I think a lot of people are drowning spiritually, only they don't realize it. You know, the life preserver comes out, and okay, there it is. Not ready to grab a hold of it yet. I get that. That can be hard. That can be disappointing for us. It can even be frustrating at times, like we're trying to reach people with the hope of Jesus, but they're just not grabbing onto it. I get that. But at the same time, I also have to wonder, are we throwing out that lifeline anyway enough? Right? Are we throwing it out enough anyway? You know, because when it comes to preaching the word, if we aren't throwing it out there, there's nothing to grab onto. And we never know when that moment comes when someone realizes their need. So thinking about the people in your lives who have not yet responded to the love of Jesus, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, you know, just be thinking, what God's word did for me, what God's word has done for you, it can do for them too. But only if we tell them. Right? Only if we preach the word. Only if we preach the word. As we close, I just want to share this story. We heard a story about, I heard a story this week about someone who had moved to a new city. And when they had gotten there, they were trying to get their whole house in order and get things settled. So one day in the morning, a cable guy came out to take care of things. He got their cable all set up, ran them through the tutorial, showed them what all the buttons meant. And then before he left, he said, "Hey, I just want to say this. I want to share with you the love of Jesus and what that's about." And they were a little surprised, but he shared with them about this. They were a believer in Christ too, but this kind of surprised them, you know, from the cable guy. But the cable guy shared with them the love of Jesus and just said, "Hey, and if you're interested, I would love to have you join me at my church this weekend if you want to come." So that was pretty interesting to them. And then the cable guy left. Later on that afternoon, they had someone come over to do a lawn analysis and a soil sample for some projects that they were working on, that sort of thing. So this person came over to share the soil results with them and sat down, went through the report, and in the course of their conversation, he basically started to tell them about the soil and then said, "You know, I just want to know if you know about God's love for you through Jesus." Just kind of put it right out there. And then after he had talked with them a little bit about that, he invited them to go to their church. And the second time in the same day. So later on that evening, you probably see where this is going, one of the neighbor ladies comes over to their house and brings a pie, because that's, you know, a good thing to do for new neighbors. And they had met, but now they talked a little bit longer, and they talked a little bit more, and she just is expressing how grateful she was to be able to get to know these people who had moved into their neighborhood. And she said, "And I also just want you to know how much Jesus loves you, and I think it's really important that I be able to share with you the importance of God in your life and how much Jesus loves you." And then she, you guessed it, invited them to join them for church that Sunday if they didn't have some place to go. Three people who in the course of their life shared the love of Jesus with a family who was new to the neighborhood. And that's pretty interesting. It's pretty powerful. But the thing that struck me most about this story was what all three of those people had in common. They all went to the same church. They all went to the same church. Which means that community of people were extremely committed to being intentional about sharing the love of Jesus with the people around them. They were serious about preaching the word. They did it in a great way, but they were serious about that. And as I heard that story, I just thought I wanted to share that with you this morning because I want us to be or become that kind of church community who is super intentional about sharing the gospel, preaching the word in our lives. And just if you are ever wondering, you know, is this the exact right time? Is this the exact right place? Do I need to share the gospel? Do I need to preach the word to this person or that person? If you're waiting for some kind of, you know, voice from God or the heavens to open up and angels to start singing and give you some sort of divine permission, God's word tells us, preach the word. You have permission from him. Consider Paul's charge to Timothy, which is also the charge to us, as your green light. Do it well. Do it sensitively. Do it tactfully. But we're called to preach the word. We're called to preach the word. That's my hope for us this morning as we just consider Paul's charge, that we would grab onto it for our own and be intentional about it in our own lives. We're going to close with a song. If the team wants to come up, that's great. I'm just going to take a moment to pray here, and I want to invite you to sing and worship in the same spirit of the song we ended with before, which says, you know, shout it, go and tell from the mountains that he is God. In the same way, this song talks about how we would reach out to others. We would be living our lives for the sake of the world around us. And so let's pray to that end, that God would give us strength, courage, the ability to be intentional in this week about how can we be someone like Paul charged Timothy and us to do, who preaches the word in the right way. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for these words of Scripture, for this instruction that Paul gave Timothy, that you breathed these words into his writing so many years ago, with the intent that Timothy would be challenged in this, but not just for Timothy, but that ultimately we would receive your word one day, and that we would understand this to be true for us. Pray that you would give us strength. We pray that you would give us wisdom. We pray that you would give us sensitivity. But we mostly pray you would give us courage to be people who take your word, the truth of your word, to those around us, knowing that what you did for us in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, in changing our eternity, you long to do for them too. And we want to be used in any way we can. So just open our hearts to them.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.
Give us courage, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen.